Let's do this.
It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
Sensational move from Kyrie Irving. Oh, Hayward. Horford lays it up and in.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll free 347-215-7771.
Ooh-wee. What a finish out there in Los Angeles tonight. Bobby Manning breaking into the night shift here. It's a true Celtics late night show here on CLNS Media, hence the name. We're going to be with you through 2 a.m. tonight. We're working overtime, so that means you, West Coast. It's only, let me do my math here, 12, 11, 10 o'clock there. So I'm counting on you out there on the West Coast to carry us tonight. All the callers out there, let's do it. Bobby Manning here with Andrew Rubino. And we are going to carry you through this late-night edition of the Celtics post-game show. 347-215-7771 is your number to call in after the Lakers hand the Celtics their fourth straight loss. Celtics are now 34-14. Not a lot of losses to go around through the first half of the season for the Celtics, but they are hitting a massive wall right now. We had a Celtics blog podcast that dropped today, me and Justin Poulin breaking down all the issues that are going on in Boston at the moment, and they continue today. Just for the most part, a horrific showing by the Celtics in a game that was handed to them on a silver platter down the stretch. Now, we're going to get into the referees. That's always a hot topic on here that we haven't gotten into a lot this season, but tonight they stunk. Good Lord, were they bad out there in L.A. tonight. Countless missed calls going both ways against these teams, in particular against the Celtics. That hook that Ingram threw on Smart to get that pass off in the middle of the scramble on one of those final inbounds was brutal. You had Hart elbowing Horford in the face on contact, and there was a number of other questionable calls. Julius Randle getting called for a foul on an offensive rebound. One of 14, well, that one doesn't count, but 14 for the Lakers in this game. Through the fourth quarter, offensive rebound after offensive rebound. Didn't matter if it was Kyle Kuzma tipping it in. He scored an unfathomable 28 on 10-16 shooting and led the way for the Lakers tonight. And on the final possession, after the Lakers missed two more free throws, a game they shot 58% from the line in and missed numerous down the stretch, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope had a chance to put the Lakers up three. He misses both, maybe on purpose. You know, there were no timeouts for the Celtics, and they had to go the full court off a miss, and they did. 5 seconds left, Smart grabs the ball, gets all the way up the court, and Terry Rozier standing to his right. Fairly open, you know, no guarantees right there, but instead Marcus Smart, down one, 108 to 107, takes a heave, faded away, three that had no chance of going in. And on a night where he was great from outside, had great stretches throughout this game and bad stretches as well, he capped it off with a very poor play in a game that the Celtics probably should have won the way the Lakers shot free throws down the stretch. I hit all the bases right there. Vino, did I miss anything? What are your thoughts off this one?
Bobby, what's up, man? Honestly, I would say that my big thing was at the very end of the game, the Celtics always seem to get into these situations where they should be up and they're just for some reason climbing their way back. And it reminds me of that Nets game. I want to say it was 3 weeks ago where Tatum had a couple clutch buckets at the end. And it's almost like they hang around and they don't put their pedal to the metal and really close out these teams. And against an inferior team like the Nets, say they're able to pull it out. But the Lakers, they have more talent than their record indicates, and the Celtics just kind of made one too few plays tonight, Bobby, and right there at the end, you can see Marcus Smart making the wrong decision, in my opinion, especially I thought that he would at least look for Kyrie, but the fact that he didn't even look for Terry in the corner who was open was surprising. So, yeah, I guess the two major takeaways initially is the reaction to the game and then also overall how the Celtics just kind of sometimes play down to their competition, and it's confusing. And luckily, they've been able to win a lot of those games that they play down to their competition because they'll pull away at the end or have these miraculous comebacks. But I don't like that when they play a team like the Lakers that they should easily handle and not let up 108 points to. They didn't get the deal. They didn't get it done tonight.
They didn't put in the work for the full night, and it cost some. Fourth quarter especially, I thought the Celtics were flat for most of that quarter. There were offensive rebounds, as I said.
What about that third, Bobby? That third,
yeah,
though, I feel like was a huge, huge moment because they had a lead coming in from halftime, and all of a sudden it just kind of quickly evaporated, and you were kind of just confused, and the Lakers went up for it was a back-and-forth kind of lead-changing type game, and it didn't feel like it needed to get there, but the Celtics just showed no motivation out there.
And it's four straight losses now, which we haven't seen in recent years. Normally when this team has a stinker, they bounce back, especially on a back-to-back. So we'll see what they do tomorrow against the Clippers right back in the Staples Center. That's going to be another tough one. Warriors are coming up. Nuggets are coming up, who notoriously play the Celtics well with that high-powered offense in Denver especially. And that's going to be a real tough one. Someone was saying to me on Twitter, Bino, this could easily turn into seven straight losses. And everyone's laughing at what's going on in Cleveland right now. The Isaiah Thomas sources, Kevin Love quitting a game, as they apparently said out there. LeBron doing a little biography about his 30,000th point as they're losing. But things are going just as bad in Boston right now. And there's an identity issue with this team right now, I feel like. Massive disconnect between Kyrie Irving, who is now taking on the load of almost 40 minutes a night, 38 tonight, scoring 33 points. You never saw him do this earlier in the season because he didn't have to, frankly. It seemed like the cohesion between the veterans on this team, the young players on this team, was perfect. You easily were able to shoulder the load between the Horfords, Irvings, and Smarts. And it shook down to Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, even a Daniel Tice and others who were getting involved in that sense. But now Horford, Irving, Smart, even Marcus Morris are doing everything for this team tonight. And Tatum, I don't know what's wrong right now. Been dealing with a knee injury, apparently. Dislocated his finger, as Justin Poulin mentioned that last night a couple weeks ago. And his three-point shot has dipped ever since. Tonight, one of six inexplicable misses inside. Kyrie Irving dished him a really nice kick out that he had an open lane in. He just completely lost the ball. And I don't know. This team just looks like they have a lost identity right now, Bino. What do you think the biggest problem is?
Well, like I always say, I think you always know what you're going to get out of Kyrie and Horford. Kyrie's the head of the snake. He's going to give you his great production points-wise. Horford is the anchor of the D, and he's going to fill up the stat sheet like he did tonight with 13 points, 12 boards, 6 assists. But when Tatum and Jaylen Brown are inconsistent and we're both off tonight, it's hard. And the Celtics really were only in this because Marcus Smart had a really good game. I mean, take away the shot at the end. He had 22 points and 8 assists, Bobby. So if Smart hadn't stepped up tonight, and especially the other Marcus Morris stepping up in that first half, had a great second quarter, I think the Celtics could have easily lost by more than the point they did, because when Tatum and Brown play the minutes that they do and they were as inconsistent as they are, it's when the Celtics really have some problems and you see them losing and getting down in these games and then eventually losing them. And I think the biggest thing is, too, Bob, is you have a guy like Tatum that's only getting 6 shots, and maybe he's only getting 6 shots because he's banged up. Maybe Brad's trying to not increase his usage like you say, like you want him to, during a time where he's not feeling 100%. But Jaylen Brown needs to give you more than 4-11, Bobby, and 1-for-5 from 3. He doesn't even get to the line. I mean, Jaylen Brown needs to be going to the basket. He needs to be getting fouled, getting to the free throw line. I don't like the Celtics' aggressiveness at all. I mean, even Kyrie only getting to the line 3 times tonight. The Celtics starters combined for 5 total free throw attempts. It's just frustrating that they have all these great weapons and they have all these guys that are slashers. I mean, think about their 1-3. Kyrie, Jaylen Brown, and Tatum should be getting to the free throw line a lot, and they're physical, more athletic than every guy, or I guess with Kyrie, craftier than every guy in this league. And it's just frustrating that they can't put it together for a stretch of game, and especially these past 4 games. You obviously see the dysfunction, I guess you could say, with the offense and guys being in and out of their lineup, including Kyrie.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the free throws, because that's been a topic of discussion. They're in the bottom 11 teams in free throws attempted per game. That was something they were great at in recent years, with Isaiah Thomas routinely getting there. There's not a lot of free throws generated across this team. And even though you do have multiple ball handlers, there's not a lot of guys who handle the ball and get to the free throw line in the same capacity. And the discrepancy between the two teams tonight, the way they were approaching the game, Los Angeles, right from the jump, was attacking inside. And I like the way the Celtics started tonight. That big lineup they brought out to start the game, Aaron Baines inside, Horford at the four, All-Star as he was named today, were really getting it done defensively. The Lakers only had 8 points through the first 7 minutes, and the offense wasn't really pushing the Celtics ahead during that stretch. But outside of Brook Lopez getting a few nice runners to go during that stretch, they were getting shut out early on, and it looked like the Celtics were going to turn this whole thing around with their defense, have a great shutdown effort, and get a win that way. But then, you know, I got to go into the numbers on this, but when they go small, they just look vulnerable this season, Bino. It's really striking to me because I love small ball. You hear me stressing for Syracuse to go to it all the time to generate some offense. And I've loved when the Celtics have done it in recent years. But this team just doesn't look like they have it when they go to those smaller lineups. Guys are getting inside on them. You have inexplicable offensive rebounds. And some of them were, you know, big men, Hollins by Randall, Kuzma, those types. But a lot of them were just low dribbles out to Clarkson that hit a bounce on the ground maybe as they were going out to the perimeter. And 36-10 free throw discrepancy tonight. Some of that the refs, probably more so that the Celtics just weren't getting into the paint. And what showed that better than that last possession with Smart just tossing it up down one?
Absolutely. And Bobby, this is the other thing too, is getting back to your point about the lineups. I don't know what was necessarily Brad's decision-making when it came to the minutes for the bigs tonight, but Baines played 11 minutes and Theis played 16 in a game where Julius Randle but, Bob, it confuses me in a game where Julius Randle is taking it to Horford. Can't you give Horford a few minutes here and there off? And in a game as well where Kuzma and Nance were showing an ability to get into the lane, and Nance is more athletic than people almost even give him credit for, the way he was able to kind of go into the post tonight. He had 11 points, 9 boards. It's frustrating that Theis and Baines didn't get a few more minutes overall and just even give Horford a little bit more time off. And it was to the point, too, where it was – Randle had a couple back-to-back possessions. I think, I want to say in the late in the third, correct me if I'm wrong, Bob, but took it just straight to Horford, and Horford had no answer. And, I mean, obviously that doesn't happen every day, but it's one of those things that when a guy like Horford's off, the Celtics have guys like Baines and Theis that are very good second options, that are very good bigs, and I didn't understand why they didn't play more tonight, going off of your point.
Yeah, and there's only really one option at small ball four for this team, and it's Marcus Morris. So when they're going small, the only hope they have there is him at the four. And how did you feel about his play tonight? Because he has been playing big minutes since they came back from London off that 10-day break. The knee is back in shape, it seems like, with the amount of minutes he's playing. And tonight, interesting game from him. It's been an interesting few nights from him because he's shooting efficiently. I feel like he's bringing a lot to the offense. He had a really smooth Kyrie-esque dribble move early in this game with a little leaning fader near the basket, coming all the way from the left wing to finish low in the right corner near the box inside. And 6 of 11 tonight, 13 points, exactly what you're looking for off the bench. He rebounded, was a plus 4, but you know, I don't know if it's his fault necessarily, but the Horford-Morris combination lineups just aren't doing it for me defensively. I just look at all the teams over the last 4 games. Anthony Davis getting inside on them aggressively. The Magic with who knows who coming into the lane, getting into the basket. Just a team of, I don't want to say no names, but that's the worst team in the Eastern Conference, bringing it to you inside. And every single time I see them go to those smaller lineups, it seems like the paint opens wide up, not only for easy finishes, but just penetration in general. And all you need is an entry into the lane to start to break down a defense. And tonight, the Celtics give up 108 points, a subpar defensive effort against a good offensive team, be it, but not a good team as a whole, a team that missed free throws all night. So you got to think that they probably could have added 5 or 6 more points on top of what they scored. And That's where I see the problem being right now, Bino. I don't think they have the personnel to go small. In fact, what's more glaring, and you brought it up just a minute ago, they have the personnel to go big and really use size to their advantage. And Daron Baynes is sitting on the bench for most of the game. Daniel Theis is getting a little more run than him, but not much. They've been trying to go small, whether it's Morris, whether it's getting Semi Ojeleye minutes, which feels like a force at this point, and they didn't do that tonight, but they have been doing that. It's just frustrating to watch this team right now because you know they're capable of so much more.
Yeah, well, I want to say two things. I'll get to your Morris point in a sec because I actually wanted to bring him up, so I'm glad you did. But this is my thing, Bob, is like if the Celtics tried to maneuver and finagle a trade to get, say, a Nerlens Noel out of Dallas, like, what would be the point of that if Brad is going to play him as much as a Theis and a Baynes? Because Theis and Baynes, to me, are just as formidable and bring just as much energy and athleticism and shot-blocking capabilities to the table as a Noel does. So it's to the point where I don't know if it's just now, Dobby, that everybody's back healthy, that they're trying to figure out the correct lineups, because there's been so many points in the season where Horford was out a little bit. Kyrie once in a while was out. You obviously had Morris out for an extended period of time. Jaylen Brown's definitely been in and out of the lineup, and Tana's been banged up recently. So I think now that everybody's fully back, maybe it's just growing pains, Bobby. I don't know, but it is frustrating talking about the big situation and how they have them, they're just not playing them. The second thing I want to say is, although Marcus Morris definitely is more of a liability on defense, I will say one thing that definitely struck a chord with me tonight with Marcus Morris's play is there's going to be a time in this postseason, Bobby, whether it's the first round or the second round, where the Celtics have a first half, first quarter and a half where they're stagnant like they were tonight. And Marcus Morris got them out of that slump. He was hitting good shots. He was back to the basket a couple of times. He was playing well, Bobby. He had such great offensive moves, and he just provided a spark that they needed. So to me, that was very reassuring, knowing that he's a veteran presence, not afraid to the moment. So come playoff time, if there is a game where Kyrie's a little off, Tatum and Brown are nervous, Smart is off, you know that Morris is a guy who's not afraid to take those jumpers and take a couple threes here and there. And he's a tough guy, and he's not afraid of the moment, Bob. So that, for me, if there was a silver lining to this game that the Celtics should have easily won, that was it. It was the play of Morris.
Yeah, and it's a silver lining to this last week, I think, is the fact that Morris is looking really good offensively. I mean, this is a guy who is just the anti-Celtics. Everybody on this team wants to make the extra pass, move it to the next guy, try to find the perfect look. And Morris is just the complete opposite. He's going to shoot over guys in his face. He's going to go right into traffic in the paint and unload in there. He's a guy who might even have potential to generate more free throws than he has, as we're talking about that tonight. So I'm really optimistic about him on that front. I just worry that the lineups he's playing in aren't effective, and maybe he just doesn't mesh with what they're trying to do on offense and defense, more so defense. You know, I got to do a deep dive on the numbers on his defense, because I don't really want to put it all on him. I just think the lineups that he's playing in aren't getting the job done on that end of the floor. And frankly, if we're looking at this team as a whole this year, their identity, the way they've won, they're not winning out scoring teams. They're not winning burying you in points. They're winning by shutting out the opposing team and scoring just enough to win. And that was almost the model tonight. They played a real good defensive first half, kept themselves in it. Kyrie Irving gave them the scoring they needed. And down the stretch, they just could not get stops. And like I said, you know, in some way, I feel like they didn't deserve to win the game in general just because of their play and the way the Lakers seized the moment into the fourth quarter. But when you, that free throw shooting that Los Angeles put out there, a one of three stretch, then that Irving followed up with a big three behind the screen. Kuzma, offensive foul on Smart down the stretch. Those two near turnovers for Los Angeles on those inbounds that turned in the bad free throw shooting in the end anyway. The Celtics were just handed opportunity after opportunity at the close of this game. And Kyrie Irving rose to the occasion. He gave them the big buckets they needed down the stretch there, but they couldn't seal the deal. And you went way back to an example against a different team. But I think you can just look at all four of these losses, and it's the same story. They were right in it at the end, but just did not have the offense to close the game.
Yeah, definitely. And this is the other thing, Bob, is going back to what you were just saying about how they have won a majority of their games and they have the number one record in the East from their great defensive play and locking teams down, is you need Kyrie's offensive production to a point. Like, there's got to be a threshold number, Bobby, where it's like if he is exceeding, like, I don't know, 31, 32 points, that means that the Celtics are in a kind of a gross shootout where they're playing awful D and they need Kyrie to score a lot. So think about it. 33 tonight, they lose. The other night against the Magic, he had 40 and they lost. So it's like, I don't want to say that it's a correlation that's going to be an ongoing thing, but a lot of times you see those numbers where all analysts and statisticians love to bring up these types of numbers where you have teams that lose when their best player scores or takes too many shots. A lot of times Russell Westbrook last year got criticized for that type of statistic and that type of correlation. But I just think that when Kyrie needs to bail them out, not that Kyrie's hogging it, Bobby, but almost to the point where Kyrie is needed to bail the Celtics out and keep them in the game with this much offensive production, it means that they're not doing their job defensively and they're not having the right defensive production that they're used to, if you're following me.
It's a mess right now. It really is, top to bottom. And luckily they gave themselves leeway with the way they started this season. But it's worrisome right now because up and down the roster, there's more questions than answers. Irving is certainly an answer at the moment. Horford gave about all he could tonight, 13, 12, and 6. I thought he was very solid, hit his first three threes to start the game and then made plays for the rest of it. Very good screen that set up that Irving three I mentioned down the stretch too. And I can't go without mentioning Terry Rozier. Did exactly what the team needed out of him tonight, picked his spots, hit some tough shots down the stretch, which you need in the final minute of the game to give yourself a chance. A big three-pointer, and then drive to the lane and finish through Randle on a good switch that I was amazed he hit. In fact, it looked like Randle had a lot of contact right there too. And they don't get the and one there. I feel like a number of calls went against the Celtics down the stretch, but that's not the reason they lost tonight. It was just poor execution throughout the game and then on that last play too, where I think it would have been fitting for Rozier to get that shot. And I didn't get to ask you specifically about that last possession. And, of course, that's what we got to do in a game that finishes on that. I think you kick it to Rozier to your right and see what he can do there the way he was shooting. Marcus Smart, oh, man, I love him, but he is the last guy I want taking the last shot of the game. I can't even picture him, like, hitting a game winner. It just seems too unrealistic.
Well, you know what is frustrating, too, Bobby, is the fact that the Celtics have so many other options that you're more comfortable taking a shot like
that.
Oh,
yeah,
like,
Kyrie's on the
court,
too.
Of course. Besides the obvious point of Kyrie, which anybody would agree would be the number one option, I mean, Horford hit that big go-ahead bucket against Houston. Rozier was on the floor and made that huge play against Indiana in mid-December where he had the steal at the end and the layup, and obviously had a couple big clutch buckets at the end tonight, so he's used to making those plays. You're right. Marcus Smart is not the guy that you necessarily – maybe you want Marcus Smart to be the facilitator, and Marcus is great at getting a rebound like he did, bringing it down like he did, but – usually Marcus Smart is the type of guy that would make that extra pass, make that pass to Terry Rozier.
Yeah.
It's frustrating he did, and it doesn't mean he was going to hit the shot, Bob, but it would have been a better look. So.
Well, we're going to get into our caller that's sitting on the line waiting patiently. If you want to call us tonight, whether you're on the West Coast or just staying up late on the East, we're here. We're keeping you cozy through the late night. Bobby Manning here, Andrew Rubino right here with us, and as always, your call-in is brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings is the game behind the game. We're right in the swing of basketball season, and the best way to supplement it, basketball gives you everything you need, but to supplement the experience, make it even better, you get the best sport in the world, you get the most drama in the world with all these trade talks, coach firings happening left and right, but if you really just want to spice up the game that much more, you want to do daily fantasy, and DraftKings is the place to do daily fantasy. There's a number of sites out there, but DraftKings is giving you the chance to play free with your first deposit for your share of $10,000 in total prizes any night you want. Don't wait. Use the code CLNS at DraftKings.com now to choose your lineup. And as you know, Daily Fantasy, the key is you can change your lineup every single day. You're not coming to a team all year. You get able to switch it up if there's injuries, if you're just not feeling your team. You can repick it night in, night out. There's matchups you like. You can play to that. And you're doing it all for money, thousands of dollars in prizes. And you can try it out for free with our promo code CLNS. And you can seriously win cash tonight. That's code CLNS only at DraftKings.com, the game inside the game. So here's our first call of the night, 619 area code. Who we got here?
Hey, guys. This is Sam in San Diego.
Oh, there's the West Coast showing out tonight. What's up, Sam?
Hey, so I haven't been able to watch the last few games, but just watch it tonight. I mean, I think the obvious thing from earlier in the season is that the scoring options, we were getting a lot of good scoring out of both Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. And there are so I think it's just that second consistent scoring player, right, which is where we're missing – obviously Gordon Hayward, but that first quarter, I mean, when we're up, we're playing well defensively, we can't score. I mean, it's really irritating to watch that. It's so ugly. I mean, it just seems like we're kind of broken right now. Obviously, I don't know what was up with Jason Tatum. He looked completely out of sync. I know he had those fouls early, but just really weird thing. It's just losing the ball. Not gathering his feet correctly, just seemed completely out of sync tonight.
It looks like what Jaylen Brown's been doing for the past week or two. He's getting to the right positions, and he just doesn't have the touch. And Tatum had a very bad missed layup where he broke through traffic, went into that motion where he got the outstretched arm right up to the backboard. And how many times have we seen him finish that shot this year? And he just completely butchered it in there. Jaylen Brown had a big missed dunk late in this game off an alley-oop from Smart. So here's the thing, and I'm glad you brought those two guys up, Sam, because when Gordon Hayward went down to start this year, the team lost about, you know, you got to think 24 or more points per game, and you wondered, oh, who's going to pick up the scoring load? And immediately, Jaylen Brown was knocking off 20-point games. Jason Tatum was giving you a steady 16 points per game. And those two guys were doing so well that it almost seemed like a sure thing that they were going to give the team what they needed every single night. And now that they're not, it's worrisome because we all expected the team to regress big time without Hayward, and those two guys were the saving grace. And now that they're not there, we're seeing what this team, a lot of people expected the team to look like. And, you know, one part of you could say they need another scorer, but at the same time, like, are you going to give up on those two young players or just ride the ship with them and hope that they can get it right? It's a tough question.
You know, I do think that we are missing – and this has been, you know, I know the fan base talks about this all the time, but I mean, we could use a scorer off that bench in the sense that, you know, you see what Clarkson does for the Lakers. I watch a lot of Lakers games, and he comes off the bench and scores, right? And we don't really have a player that can do that. So we have to swing the ball, and we have to try to get good shots. But, I mean, anytime you can get an instant scorer off the bench, that's what you want. I thought Kyrie got hurt there with that. I know he bumped knees, and then after that, they didn't really go to him other than set shots. You know, he no longer had the ball in his hands. He was no longer penetrating, and I think that's the reason why they were going to Rozier, and I think that's the reason why you didn't see him near the end. I mean, he still seemed to be laboring, and he really didn't have the ball in his hands. That was kind of concerning because we really can't afford to lose him for any period of time. Same thing with the end. I don't see why we wouldn't have known before the free throw is taken that whoever rebounds it, you get it to Kyrie, right? Because why would you not want Kyrie to take that shot?
Well, yeah, and it's a good point. They had multiple ball handlers in there at the time, Rozier, Smart, and Irving. And Smart kind of dominates that ball when they're in there. And usually you trust them to make the good decision. And he made a lot of good decisions throughout the game. So it was just shocking to see him make such a brutal decision down the stretch. And it's sort of the mark of Smart. You see him in practice. He's hitting shots. His three-pointer looks good. He makes great plays throughout the course of the game. But then in these big moments, He'll make a brutal mistake that just drives you crazy. And it's so smart, the game tonight. A great offensive foul on Kuzma down the stretch that he drew. The brutal miss at the end. The brutal shot at the end. I just thought it was an awful shot. A number of good points by Sam. Let me throw it to Bino real quick and see if he has anything to say about all those points you just threw at us.
Yeah, Sam, I think the biggest thing that I 100% agree with you about is a scoring presence off the bench. And I was very envious of the Lakers tonight. You have a guy like Clarkson comes in, looks like a starting point guard, honestly. Somebody, honestly, that the Cavs look like they could use right now, a guy that's so consistent off the bench. And the Celtics absolutely could as well. And it just makes you wonder why Smart and Rozier are so inconsistent, because if they could play, give you 12 to 15 consistently a night, not the volatile 6 to 20. Like, if you look at tonight, like, Smart had 22 and 8 assists. And it's like, when's the last time that Smart did that, Bob? You know? And so, Sam, I thought that was a great point you brought up, that they definitely need a bench presence that, whether it's going to come from internally or not, I don't know. But you definitely get jealous when you watch a team like the Lakers, who is just really a dumpster fire, that they have these type of scoring presences off the bench. I mean, technically, Kuzma came off the bench too tonight, Bobby, so it just shows how much
28 off the bench is good.
Young depth, yeah. So.
All righty, Sam, any other points you want to hit us with? A lot of good stuff from you tonight, man. It's good to hear from you again.
Yeah, no, just that, obviously this is a rough patch, but it's kind of good to see, because it kind of exposes where our weaknesses are right before the trade deadline, and if Ainge feels that it's time to strike, then I'm sure he'll make the proper move. So I'm just kind of looking forward to that deadline. Really bummed that not only did we lose this game that was really winnable, but, you know, we also gave a win to the Lakers, and I really want that top five pick this year, so I'm kind of bummed about that. We got to try to get a win tomorrow, so, and that's going to be a tough game. I think the Clippers are playing okay, and it's going to be at least we're staying in LA. So, anyways, thanks a lot for taking my call, guys. Go Celtics.
Thanks, Sam.
Appreciate it, Sam.
One of the better callers we get here at the program, that's Sam in San Diego.
Absolutely.
A lot of good points there. And in particular, I think he brings up a very interesting debate going into this trade deadline. And I introduced it a little bit with the fact that this season became about developing Brown, developing Tatum, and leaning on them through their ups and downs to get it done for the Celtics. And luckily, it's been about like 80% up, 20% down, and even that might be going hard on those two. But now that they've hit this rough patch where both of them are playing poorly for four games, obviously you're going to think, you know, oh, they need another score to supplement this whole thing. But like we've talked about, Bino, that's going to mean less time for those two, less shots for those two, less pressure on them to provide the offense. It's tough to see what's going to get them out of this slump right now. But, you know, on one hand, you could bring in a guy and pay for a guy who can provide some scoring, but I probably lean towards trying to get these two out of a slump and really emphasizing that right now.
No, I agree, Bobby. And this is a tough thing, too. Jason Tatum is, what, 40, 44, 45 games into his NBA career, and Jaylen Brown is now a season and a half in. I mean, they're huge pieces of this team, so when they go through slumps, I think that it's almost like, as analysts, we like to be tough and can criticize, but we have to, me and you and everybody else in Celtics media, you have to be, almost as empathetic to the fact that they're young and they're gonna show sparks of brilliance and have these great games, whether it be the Jaylen Brown going off against the Warriors during that 16-game win streak to start the year, or the Jason Tatum usually giving you 15 to 16 points a night. So I think that it's if the growing pains are based off of their play, I think they'll figure it out. And they're young guys with a lot of talent, so I think it's too quick to pull the trigger and say, oh, they're not getting it done, or the Celtics need to go out and get another guy. Because it's the grass is always greener on the other side, Bobby, but any fan, any other GM throughout the league would kill to have a situation where you're developing two young guys with as much potential as Brown and Tatum have, and you have a guy like Gordon Hayward coming back, and it's just going to be the perfect mesh, in my opinion, when Hayward does come back. So I think that if we kind of pump the brakes on the four-game losing streak and kind of look at it from that perspective, I totally agree with you. Ride it out with Brown and Tatum. And if it's this time next year and Brown really doesn't look like he's developed much, maybe then you talk about, okay, what's up with Jaylen Brown? But we have to be very aware that they're 19 and 21 years old, Tatum
yeah.
and Brown, respectively.
And just the other night, Brown worked out of a slump in the midst of the game. I believe it was the 76ers one. And put the Celtics right back in it. Got them within seven in position to win it. And they have done this in all four of these games. They've really broken off spirited comeback efforts when their back's been against the wall in the fourth quarter. So they're getting experience in those situations too, which is key for the playoffs. But you'd like to see them pull one of these off and steal a game. And tonight they had a chance to do that, and they did not. Lakers have won three in a row now, so they have risen all the way up from the fourth worst record in the NBA to the ninth, which is not a good position for the Celtics to be in, as Sam said, if they want to get that pick. And as we see, there are a lot of college stars shining this year. So, you know, they would get the Kings pick next year, but you'd love to be in that top five this year with all the talent that's up at the top of that draft at guard and big. A lot of big men talent in the draft this year. And the Celtics are going to want to tap into that because that seems to be an area where they're very thin at the moment. So we have 22 minutes to go until 2 a.m. when I'm sure me and Bino are going to hit the bed hard. And until then, join us, 347-215-7771. About to blast that out on Twitter. You can follow me at RealBobManning. And Bino is on Twitter at Andrew_Rubino44. It is getting late out here, but we still have a number of topics we can get to. Is there anything I haven't hit on so far that you think needs addressing, you know, bigger picture or just from this game tonight, Bino?
Yeah, just one thing related to the schedule, Bob. I would say looking at this schedule ahead before the All-Star break, and Bobby, my goodness, man. There's one legit game that you can put a W next to knowing that the Celtics will absolutely win. It's February 2nd against Atlanta. Besides that, Bobby, it's Clippers twice. This is obviously out of order, but Clippers twice, Golden State, obviously at Denver coming up. You have the Knicks, Portland, Toronto, the Wizards, Indiana, and Cleveland. Those are all playoff-quality teams currently in the thick of both conferences' playoff races. Bobby, that is a tough stretch. And the Knicks, I guess, is the one exception where you have them. They're a few games out of the eighth spot in the East. But, Bob, I mean, they took it to the Celtics at home. Just I want to say the beginning of January, it was the beginning of January that they played them. So and they beat. Oh no, sorry, end of December. It was on the December 21st. Celtics lost by 9. That was the Michael Beasley game. So I mean, even a team like the Knicks, that's not a shoo-in game. So it just shows, Bob, the schedule coming up is going to be huge for the Celtics. And honestly, if they can win 60% of these games, I guess, I don't know, is that too low of a standard? I just think that the way it's going now, as long as they can just get a couple wins and the rest of, if they can go 2-3 on this road trip, beat the Clippers tomorrow night, maybe take a loss against the Golden State Warriors on Saturday, but then beat Denver coming back and with a three-game homestand, I think I would be fine with 2-2 on this road trip, considering they just lost the Lakers. What about you, Bob?
It's tough. They could easily lose out on this win road trip right now. And luckily, the Celtics do tend to play better when they're in the midst of a lot of games. So tomorrow they're going to be on a back end of a back-to-back. I feel good about that because when it seems like they're in the flow of things, and they did find some momentum in the fourth quarter tonight, that they do play well. There was sort of a lot of gaps between their games this last week or so, week plus, where they had 2 days off, more coming off that London break. And now they're getting into the swing of things where they're going to have a game today, Saturday, Monday, Wednesday. So there's just rapid-fire games coming up over the next week, lots of travel. And that bodes well for them just staying in the pace of things. But I'm looking down the schedule too right now, Bino, and there is not an easy game for the Celtics until
no.
February 28th against the Hornets, I'd say, or maybe the 26th against the Grizzlies. But even they're a very hard-nosed team still, even with their lack of talent. So, Knicks have played them tough this year. Clippers are a team that commands a lot of respect, even though they lost Chris Paul. They've had a great month. Pacers are very tough this year. That game against the Raptors is big because those two teams played a very tough game when the Celtics were in the midst of that 16-game win streak early in the year. And the Raptors have only gotten better since. A dominant team at home, that's going to be a tough one. The Wizards came and spanked the Celtics on Christmas, so they're going to have another shot against them. It's going to get really hard right now. And I don't think, you know, we're looking for this saving answer right now, a trade target, this and that. I really think this team, their motivation, their turnaround is going to be internal. They are either going to sink or swim right now, and they have to get everyone in this lineup going. Maybe switch a starting lineup. Maybe make an adjustment within the flow of the team right now. Something has to happen. Brad Stevens is just searching for answers right now. You hear him talk. He doesn't really seem to know what's going on either. I think the best thing the team could do right now is maybe make a lineup adjustment. Do you have any suggestions for what that would be?
I don't know. I guess we hinted at it earlier of playing the bigs a little bit more, but it's really just about getting Tatum and Brown in a better flow of things and getting them efficient looks. I would say that you've been definitely a big proponent of increasing Tatum's usage, right? I would say now, before the trade deadline, just get Tatum back to that 15, 16, 17 a game mark, because maybe after the 9 days off they'll have with the All-Star break, when you come back, maybe that's where you slowly start increasing the amount of shots Tatum takes. But I would say right now, Bob, that the Celtics just need Tatum to get back to the to that 15 or so he was averaging, especially in the month of December when he was named the Rookie of the Month for the month of December. So, yeah, I mean, I would say that maybe it's a combination of playing the bigs and just a little more and getting the young guys back on track. But I will say one thing, Bob. It was a week ago today where the Celtics came off that London trip and they had seven in a row they had won. So they're only a week removed from having a very good stretch and almost like a middle of the season kind of. Maybe they got a little bit too high and they came back. They played a tough New Orleans team that that definitely took it to them. And then Philly was without Kyrie. So then the Orlando and the L.A. Losses, those are the ones that sting more because those are the ones that you kind of wanted to get back into a groove of things and see this team kind of get back on track. So hopefully they can do that, Bobby, in the next couple games, especially on the West Coast. But we'll see how that goes. But I definitely think that they are only a week removed from having a great kind of seven-game win streak in that nice time off. So hopefully they'll dial back in and Brad will give them a little bit of a pep talk, put it nicely.
Yeah, they definitely need it right now, and we'll see what's going to happen. So Jarrell Eddie is in the fold now. He played 3 minutes tonight, got a shot off, not a lot from him, but we got to see him for the first time, received a nice little outlet pass from Smart and had a look inside that he was off on, I believe. So he is a three-point shooter, has more three-point attempts in his career than two-point attempts, and that is what he's going to give this team right now. Do you have any thoughts on him, how they could possibly use a guy like that? Do you think they'll use him that much? I know you're probably not a G League expert, and that's where this guy's been living for a few years now. But it was very interesting that they gave him a roster spot outright with a lot of bodies here in general.
I mean, I think that three-point shooting, Bobby, is something that they're a little bit more inconsistent with. So I think that just giving a guy that slot almost maybe Brad's thinking that he can be a richer man's Nader, kind of coming off the bench, coming in and being a spot-up shooting guy. So I don't know. Do I have crazy expectations for Jarrell Eddie? No, but do I think that if he can come in and have a couple games where he hits a couple threes, then that's great. But I will say, Bobby, you jinxed your boy Shane Larkin because you wrote that nice piece about him. How he's coming along. Bob, he doesn't even play tonight.
Yeah, I know. When I say I wouldn't play him in the second half, he has the big second half. And now that I think he's becoming a key cog in the rotation, he doesn't play at all. Jarrell Eddie's taking his spot, I guess. It's very interesting because there are so many ball handlers on this team between Irving, Smart, Roger, Horford, that Larkin commands a very weird role in that some nights he's not going to play. And other nights, he's going to be the second most important dribbler on the team. But, man, the way Stevens talks about this guy, it is – you know how you get on me for hyping these role players up? I think I get it from Stevens, the way he talks about a guy like Larkin. The way he talks about his tough, gritty defense, the change of pace he gives them on the floor, the steady presence, ball handling, and everything else. And this guy never shows out in the stat sheet, but the way Stevens talks about him, you think he takes over the game when he comes in. And I do think he brings a lot of positive tendencies to the offense. But the thing is, for a team that struggles to score, he doesn't really bring too much scoring himself. So I like him in doses, but it's tough because it's the same story as a lot of guys on this team. They're useful. They do a lot of little things to help. But when it comes to scoring, there's only 3-4 guys on the roster now they can really count on in that department. And even Horford, you know, he's great at everything, but he's not great at scoring. So that creates an offensive issue in itself. I remember early in this game, one of the first plays of the game, Horford and Tatum were in nice switches where they got Tyler Ennis in front of them. And Tyler Ennis is a guy you have to take it to. You know, God bless his Syracuse alumni, but he is not a commanding defensive presence. And you get a switch on him. Horford had one. Tatum had one. They were just throwing it back and forth to each other, and neither of them shot. So I think that the hesitancy on this offense among everyone but Smart and Morris, and Irving's going to go and get his too, but there's a hesitancy going on with the offense right now too, and that, of course, is the problem. They're still number one in defense, still overall a solid defensive team, but they are a lower-tier offensive team as a whole among East and NBA teams in general this year.
Yeah, it's one of those things that when Tatum and Brown, like I've said on this show before, Bob, when Tatum and Brown show out, and they cover up kind of they almost create themselves that second scoring option almost above Horford in the hierarchy, right? And then when they don't, and when they produce a combined 13 points tonight that matches Horford's total, that's where it's a game where the Celtics, when they play poor defense and they have that type of offensive production, they lose by one to an inferior team like the Lakers.
Ah, here's the thing I didn't think about. Shout out Bill Side for bringing this up on the Twitter line. We wouldn't even mention this in the show if I didn't just see this. Jason Tatum just had a kid. And he is 19. He just became a father. Do you think that has something to do with the struggles you're seeing from him over the last week? I mean, that's no small thing.
Well,
I'm glad Bill Side brought that up. Yeah.
Well, you know what, Bobby, that's something that's weird that he brought that up, because I thought that originally at the start of the show, but I'm usually more of I usually keep things like that to myself because I don't want to be the one to open Pandora's box. But, Bob, you have to think, I mean, he's younger than us, and he had to go public with it because of all of these rumors, and maybe it is in his head a little bit. Maybe there's been guys smack-talking him. I mean, there's been some kind of like viral looking tweets where it says that he's dating two girls at once. And I don't necessarily think that's the case. I think just it's an unfortunate situation where he has the kid out of wedlock and he's also dating another girl. So I don't know, Bob. I don't want to get into it too much because I don't know the whole in and out. You're kind of more locked in with the insiders on the kind of like the dynamics of those guys personally. But look, I mean, it could very well be in Tatum's head a little bit, and maybe it's kind of been a piece of trash talking among some of the guys in the league. I don't know.
Yeah, that is interesting. I didn't think about that at all. And that's a challenge for him right now, just in life in general, for anybody having a kid for the first time, especially that young. It has to be on his mind out there. And for a guy that just seemed to let nothing get into his head early in the season, struggles, misses, anything, this is a bigger life story with him right now. And obviously, I'm sure if you asked him, he'd downplay it. But that's going to be something to keep an eye on. That is heavy stuff right there going on in the background. And there's a lot of rumors, like you said, about stuff that's going on. But we just don't know for sure. So we'll leave that to the side for a different podcast. We're X's and O's right here. So X's and O's.
We can leave that to We can leave that to an entertainment podcast for the Celtics.
I'm sure Sam Sheehan has a lot to say about that. from an X's and O's standpoint, what would you do, Coach Andrew Rubino, to try to you know, get Brown going, but more get Tatum going out of this slump right now, whether it's his knee, whether it's his new baby, whatever's going on. How would you try to get Tatum back into the swing of things? Like you said, 14 to 17 points a game. They need that to get winning again. What do they have to do?
I mean, I think the biggest thing, Bobby, first of all, is making sure Tatum gets quality three-point looks, because that I mean, everybody, every single NBA analyst, every single person that loves the NBA was astonished by Tatum's nearly 50% from three mark halfway through the season. And obviously, like you said, it dipped a little bit. So if you can get Tatum almost have that one shot go through the net that kind of is going to get his confidence back, I think that would be big, because then the more you have to respect his three-point attempts, and his three-point shot, the quicker he's going to be able to go by guys. And then with Jaylen Brown, I really think, Bobby, it's just making sure that he attacks the rim. It's one of those things that I don't love that he shoots five three-pointers tonight. I'd much rather see him get into the lane, get a free throw attempt, which he didn't have. And so I guess from a very basic kind of X's and O's standpoint, you kind of have – if you have Tatum getting back to shooting the three-ball well, which opens up driving lanes for him, and then just – having Jaylen Brown be more of a guy going to the basket and getting to the free throw line, which you saw a lot against the Warriors in that game, where I thought that was Jaylen Brown's best game as a pro, whether it be last year, any time last year in the playoffs or this year. So I think that's really what you want to see from those two guys. I don't know if either that's what you would do from your perspective, but that's, I guess, my two cents on that.
Yeah, it's definitely a confidence thing right now. You have to get the bucket falling in the net. I think there's a lot of times where Tatum just falls out of the flow of the offense, and Brown too, for that matter, because both of those guys aren't dribblers. Tatum has isolation tendencies that I think you could tap into, but that's not probably a habit you really want him getting into. A lot of isolation looks, they got him out of that habit coming out of college. And even just to get him out of a slump, I don't think that's something you want to instill in him again. But, you know, maybe give him an isolation look here or there once or twice a game, just because, you know, he can take advantage of that. Put a smaller guy on him, he's able to take advantage. These guards don't really have a chance when he's pulling up on them. And Brown, for that matter, too, they need transition looks for him. That's where his game is best suited right now. And they're going to have to get those looks for him. As a whole, this team really isn't getting out on the fast break like they were earlier in the season too, which is weird considering they're running smaller lineups. And, you know, maybe they go more three guard for now. They have a lot of guards that they can use, that Kyrie, Irving, Smart, Rozier line down the stretch seem to have a lot of potential for them. So maybe you go super small instead of just kind of small, and maybe even get Tatum a little time at the four. I don't love that, but if that opens up his offense a little bit, roll with that too. It's tough right now. They're going to have to experiment. I think they are experimenting, which is part of the problem at this point, because like you said, they're just getting healthy for the first time all season, really. But we'll see what happens tomorrow night. They got the Clippers again in Staples Center out on the West Coast as this swing continues. Another 10:30 tip, so Celtics postgame show will be back here at 1 a.m. tomorrow. Bino, any other thoughts before we close this out?
Yeah, last thing, two quick things. I looked up that November 16th win during that 16-game winning streak against the Warriors. Jaylen Brown went to the line six times, went 5 for 6. He also was 3 for 8 on three. So that's the type of stat line you want to see from Jaylen Brown. And then the second thing, Bob, is if the theme, I guess, of the show tonight was potentially having internal fixes on some of these problems, and especially with kind of the sparks with scoring, would you think there's any chance maybe Brad talks to Tatum and says, look, I want you to be the offensive cog of the second unit. I'm going to make you the sixth man and bring you off the bench. Do you think that that's a plausible option, or do you think that would just mess with Tatum too much?
I think that the key to this season is developing Brown and Tatum into starting caliber players for next season. So I don't think those two guys are moving. Irving's certainly not moving. Whatever happens is going to happen in the front court. So maybe, just maybe, they go to Smart in the starting lineup, slide Tatum over that four spot, and then play Horford at the five. That could be an option. I just don't think Irving, Tatum, Brown are moving at this point, and Horford either.
And I wouldn't hate that, Bob, either, because then if you could bring in Marcus Morris together with either Tice or Baines, and you kind of have that big physical presence, and then you can have Morris kind of do his thing for his 19 to 27 minutes and just kind of cuck up his shots and have the have a rim protector in there with him. That could work better than maybe playing Morris together with Horford.
It's tough right now. We'll see what the Celtics bring out to experiment with. There's a lot of different directions they can go, which is good. They definitely have the bodies that can make some of these problems they have work better. It doesn't seem like they're going to be going big. So as much as we both love the idea of that, Bino, I think we need to get that out of our heads because that's just not the Stevens way. Just like Bayham's never going to go small, Stevens is never going to go big.
Man.
So
yeah.
We're going to have to live with that. So tomorrow night, Josue Pavone, Calvin Chamberlain. That is going to be a good show, especially if the Celtics lose again. Man, does Calvin Chamberlain hit hard out there on the West Coast. A Lakers fan, too. So he's going to be going in on the Celtics, I'm sure, if these struggles continue. And as we know, Josue, one of the best hosts in the game. So must listen tonight, even for a 1 a.m. start time. They'll be taking your calls, as always, at 347-215-7771. Check out DraftKings, who is the official sponsor of the Celtics postgame call-in line. Thanks to Sam in San Diego for calling in tonight. And that is all I got for Bobby Manning, myself, Andrew Rubino by my side tonight, and the whole postgame show crew over at CLNS Media. We will see you next time. Thanks for joining us tonight, or if you're listening to us on the podcast, which is available at iTunes, thank you as well. And we will see you next time. I don't think I'm on the schedule for the rest of them. Oh, yeah, I got the Warriors game with Matt Rury. Nice. I'm going to be enjoying my Saturday night. Bino got the night off. He's going to be out doing some fun stuff, I'm sure. So we'll see you next time we're around. And thanks
for
joining us, as always.
In the books.
Yep, of course. Good night, everybody.
This has been the Celtics postgame show on CLNSradio.com. Thanks for listening. The Celtics might not be in action every day, but we are, so stay connected. Follow us on Twitter at CLNS Radio and check out our broadcast schedule for the best weekly sports podcasts on the web.